Father, we thank you that you are the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. God, we thank you that you are the God of miracles. God, we thank you that when your son died and he rose again and he went to heaven, Father, that the miracles didn't stop then. And God, we trust you. We know you have a purpose and plan for each and every one of our lives. And God, we trust that you will make things happen the way they need to happen, God, in each and every one of us. Father, we thank you for who you are, and we thank you for what you do. In all things, God, in all things, we are thankful. In all situations, God, we are thankful. God, we are so thankful that you are a God of miracles. And you're still doing them today. Father, we thank you. And Jesus, as these kids prepare to go to Sunday school, God, I pray that you'll impact their lives today, God. Jesus, I pray that you'll open up their hearts. Father, settle their spirits, settle their minds, God, so that they can hear your truth and your words, Father, in a way that is real and alive to them. God, I pray that you will impact them and change them today. Father, be with their teacher. And God, I pray that you would just encourage her. Father, I pray that you'll just open up our hearts and open up our minds for what you have for us as well today. Be with us and be with our time. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll let the kids go. And I'd forgotten, thanks to Myrna for reminding me, I realized I left my notes down there. And while I was talking, because it says on there when they're due, I just can't see that far. Shoebox is due. Yeah, I think next Sunday is the last Sunday. Oh, that one doesn't have the day. Okay, shoebox. Oh, this one, November 16th. Shoeboxes are due. So grab a shoebox, fill it up with some stuff for some kids, and let's take an opportunity to be a blessing for that. While we're letting everyone kind of get themselves settled. So we've been talking about miracles.
Pastor Dave, can I just share something real quick?
Yeah.
We sang about we serve a God of miracles, but we had a miracle this past week. Well, we didn't happen before, but a miracle this week. About 3 months ago, our great granddaughter fell.
Well, I'll come over here.
Oh, boy. Do you look in that all the time?
I do.
You mustn't like the looks of us or something. Can't see. Anyway, she broke her arm. She's 5, 6 years old, I guess, and she broke her arm, and it was quite a bad break right in the elbow. And they put her in the cast for 6 weeks, and it seemed to heal pretty good. But when she took the, when they took the cast off, the arm was like this, and there was no reaction in the wrist, and she was going to physiotherapy, and it wasn't much wasn't happening, and they went back to the surgeon, and he booked for the nerve specialist in Edmonton because they thought there was some nerve damage. And anyway, they went back home, and we started praying, and she went back to physiotherapist once, and then the second time we went back to physiotherapist, says, "I can't believe what's happening here. What's happened in the last 2 weeks? Normally takes 6 months for that to heal, and so we have a miracle. Her arm is healing, and we thank God for that."
Thanks, Lyle. Well, it was a miracle that Lyle was going to share a miracle because we had technical difficulties for a second. So thank you for buying me a second. That's an awesome story. It's an awesome miracle that we're seeing happen right before our eyes. Okay. So we've been talking about miracles. And last week we talked about the miracle of deliverance. And this week we're going to talk about the miracle of healing. But it might be a little different than what we normally might talk about when we talk about healing, okay? And I'm going to be open and honest with you. It might look a little different today than what you might expect it to look. And for that, I won't apologize because I have the microphone. We all have a sense of humor, right? Good. Well, you remember that as we talk today. But aren't you glad we serve a God of miracles? And aren't you glad he just didn't do them in the Bible, but we can literally see miracles like Lyle's talking about today in our everyday life? Aren't you thankful for that? Do you believe that our God has the power to touch sick bodies today? Amen, right? And if we look throughout Scripture and in the Old Testament, miracle after miracle, we can see of healings. In the New Testament, there's at least 30 different miracles that are captured there. Jesus healed people of sickness in their bodies and their minds. And it says, and it's kind of implied, that there's hundreds upon hundreds of more miracles that weren't even captured in Scripture, miracles of healing. Jesus opened the blind eyes. He healed deaf ears. He made the lame walk. He raised the dead. And I wrote this down because it's kind of, I don't know, it's captured in the book of Acts. It's kind of a funny story. So it says that Paul was preaching, right? And he preached so long, and he just kind of went on and on and on. And Luke says there that he went on, and went into the night he preached so long. Have you ever been bored in the middle of a sermon at another church? Let's clarify that. At another church. Not here. Have you ever been bored, though, at another church, right? Well, this guy, he went on so long. Paul just went on and on. And there was this kid, and I'm not even going to try to say his name. Eutychus, actually. I think I can say that right. Eutychus. Fell asleep in the middle of the sermon. He was sitting in a window, and he fell asleep. And he fell out of the window, and he died. I don't think I've ever killed any of you guys in my sermons yet. Yet. But Paul goes down there, lays hands on him, and he raises him from the dead. So it's kind of a funny story about healing. There are also some controversial healings in the Bible, right? Probably one of the most controversial of all the miracles in the New Testament, though, was when Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law. I'm not sure if you knew this, but many scholars believe that when Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law, they believe that that might be why Peter denied Jesus three times. Just kidding. It's a joke. You guys told me you had a sense of humor this morning. Come on. That's a good one. Come on, guys. It's going to be a long morning if you didn't think that was funny. I'm here for a long time. You don't just get me for one show and then I'm out. No, sorry. But God has the power to heal, does he not? John 14:12 says, "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even what? Even greater things than these." So based on what we read in John 14:12, we can ask, what did Jesus do? He healed the sick, right? And I believe the same power that healed the sick when Jesus walked on the earth heals the sick today. Who believes that? Do you believe that? And how did we do it? Through faithful prayer to our Father, right? Through prayer and petition to our Father. His power, God's power, at work within the church. So then, based on that type of idea, though, and that type of statement, we get the whole thing of, well, if God can do it, why didn't he? No. Back up. Don't get ahead of yourself. Why didn't he? People pray for things like headaches, depression, addiction, cancer, knees, hips, backs, whatever, right? And sometimes when you believe that God can and it doesn't happen the way you think, it makes you a little unsettled. It shakes you. It rocks you. And then you hear comments like, well, God mustn't be real, or God is not a good God. Or maybe God doesn't care. So what do? How do we go before God and pray for something that we know he can do? We believe that he can do it. We know he has the power. We know, as we talked last week, he gave us the authority, but he doesn't always do it the way we think it should happen. It doesn't always change the way and look the way we expect. How many of you have ever seen that or been a part of that? Seen that, right? And there's a statement I may make, because if you thought my joke was bad, some of you might not like the statement. But this is going to be the basis of our discussion today. Our God heals, but he doesn't heal everyone all the time. We know that. We've seen it. We've all said, we've prayed for something, and it didn't happen the way we thought it would, right? So, I'm not speaking fiction, I'm speaking fact that we've all seen. So how do we render that? How do we deal with that? It's a challenging one. I'll give you an example from Scripture. Now, here's where my Greek verbiage really comes out poorly. There's this guy named Trophimus, who was one of Paul's friends, Apostle Paul's friends. And when Trophimus got sick, God didn't heal him. And we read in 2 Timothy 4:20, Paul says, God not only didn't heal him, but I left him behind. I just left him there. And we went about our business. See, God could have healed him, but for some reason God didn't. And we have Timothy, who had stomach issues in the Bible. And we read about how Paul told his young protege, Timothy, God could have healed you, but God didn't. And then there's Paul. So you know his story. He had a thorn in his side, a thorn in his flesh, right? We don't know what that thorn may or may not have been. There's all sorts of theories of, well, what that thorn was. Maybe it was a literal thorn. We don't know. But we know that he had a thorn in his side. And we know that Paul pleaded 3 times. And when he pleaded with God, it wasn't like a 5-minute, you know, bless this food, God, amen. This was, he pleaded. He spent time with God, praying. Not even a 30-minute, but he was pleading with everything in him. It was a persistent prayer session. 3 times, 3 seasons of desperate pleas. God, take this away. And you know what God says to him? He says, no. I could, but I'm not going to. In this case, what I'm going to show you is that my grace is going to be enough for you. And when it comes to healings, our God can heal you. He often does heal us, does he not? But when he doesn't, how do we deal with that? Sometimes, and I've heard this said, it's been said to my parents, actually, from well-meaning Christians, people that are very good people, good believers, good friends. And they've said stuff like, well, you know, you're sick or whatever, you're not getting healed, your family's sick, whatever the reason, because there's sin in your life. If you didn't have that sin in your life, you wouldn't be sick. Or they've said stuff like, well, maybe you're not praying right. Maybe you're not doing something right in your prayers. That's why you're not getting healed. You don't have the faith to get healed. That's the problem. Well, what did we talk about last week? What did we talk about Scripture? How much faith do we need to move a mountain? The size of a what? So we don't need much faith to move the heart of God. So then why don't we always get healed? You're way ahead still. This is the one we need now. Thank you. You just wrecked that thunder. So 3 reasons why Jesus didn't always do miracles. And guys, the reason we're using the miracle of healing right now is because this is the one that really, I think, can easily help us understand
be understood with these scriptures. I think that this is one of the areas that we often don't always see the miracle that we expect to see. So three reasons Jesus didn't always do miracles. The first one was Jesus refused to perform miracles to prove himself. Jesus didn't need to do something to prove who he really was. He is who he says he is. You don't need to say, well, Jesus, if you're really Jesus, if you're really the Son of God, then, you know, take this thorn out of my side. He doesn't need to do that. He doesn't need to prove himself. Mark 8:11-12 says, the Pharisees came and began to question Jesus. To test him, they asked him for a sign from heaven. He sighed deeply and says, why does this generation ask for a sign? Truly I tell you, no sign will be given to it. I don't know, maybe you've done this as a kid. I know I did once in a while. You know, if you did the, oh God, if you just do this one thing, I'll serve you. I'm gonna focus fully on you, God. I'm gonna give it all to you. God, just do this one thing. Let this one girl like me, God. And you know, we're gonna be going strong for you, God. God, I just want to buy that cassette tape. It's my favorite. And you know, God, if you just give me the money, God, I'm going to serve you forever, right? How many have heard those, maybe made those pleas, right? God isn't for that. God doesn't do that. I wish he did. Sometimes it might make life a little easier, wouldn't it? But he doesn't. That's what we just read. These Pharisees came up to question him. What's their motive in their heart? To test God. They're asking him for a sign. Do something to prove you really are the Son of God. And I'm sure Jesus was probably thinking, I'm not here to entertain you. I'm not like a magician at your 12-year-old's birthday party pulling rabbits out of hats, making balloon animals. I'm not doing tricks for you. I am the Son of God. I am who I say I am, and I don't need to prove anything to you. You either believe or you don't. It's the choice. The second thing is Jesus never performed a miracle that interfered with God's ultimate plan. This is probably one of the toughest ones to understand, to grab, to grasp, to move with. And in Matthew 26:53, it says, that should be a 5 instead of in front of that 3. I just realized I didn't copy it all. Don't you realize that I could ask my Father for thousands of angels to protect us? And he could send them instantly like that. But if I did, how would the scriptures be fulfilled that describe what must happen now? See, we read here that Jesus chooses to do a miracle in one moment and in a moment later withholds a miracle. And I only read you the part where he withholds the miracle. But this is a powerful story, and I'm not sure if you guys know where this is. But this is happening when Judas just betrays Jesus with a kiss on the cheek, right? Judas comes up and kisses Jesus on the cheek so the guards know who to arrest. And just then, as Jesus is being arrested, what does Peter do? I like Peter. I like his response. He gives a response that I probably would do, and he grabs his sword, and what does he do? Cuts off an ear. Now, let's face facts, guys. Peter, really good intentions here. Really bad aim. I don't think he was going for the ear. Just saying. But when he cuts off the ear, what happens? There's pandemonium. There's chaos happening. People are running around. And the ear flies off. And I can just tell. I know how it would go. Because I've been there with a principal in front of me. Dave. Relax. And I'm sure it's like that. Peter. Come on. I got this under control. This isn't what I wanted you to do. This isn't how you're supposed to respond. And I can just imagine Jesus. Guys, where's the ear? Find the ear. Somebody, everybody settle down. Somebody find me that ear. And he takes the ear. And he takes it and he does a miracle. And I think he takes it and puts it in his hand and he puts it on Malchus' head and he says, God, in my name, heal this ear. It's a little joke, guys. Laugh. Because we usually say, in Jesus' name, and he says, God, in my name. Right? Come on. Let's be sharp this morning. That's the end of my jokes for the morning, though. And he heals the ear, doesn't he? He does a miracle. And it becomes a teaching moment for Peter. Peter, don't you realize that at any moment, I could ask my Father for a thousands of angels to protect us? And boom, God would send them. They're here now defending us. Just like that. If at one moment he could do a miracle and the other moment he chooses not to, when it would interfere with God's ultimate plan, why do we not think that he could not do the same here? The third time, third example of when Jesus wouldn't do a miracle or didn't do a miracle, was when there was no faith. I forgot to change that to 3:2. Boy, I must have had a rough time writing this. Jesus didn't do miracles when there was no faith. So Matthew 13:58, Jesus is in his hometown. And for some reason, when we're in our hometown, maybe there's not quite as much faith. Like, oftentimes, and as far as, and please, when I say this, make the statement, don't think that I'm putting pastors way up. But lots of times, pastors don't go pastor in their hometown. Lots of times, people don't do ministry in their hometown. Because people don't believe maybe some of the stuff they're saying. Well, I saw little Dave when he was 12, and I saw how they used to melt candles on the chairs on Christmas Eve service, and all the trouble they caused in the church, and blah, blah, blah. I couldn't listen to him. I don't think he's changed. Now, Jesus, on the other hand, I mean, perfect kid, right? Teacher's pet in school. His dad was out being a carpenter, and he's out whittling a bird out of a stick. I don't know. But when he was in his hometown, Matthew 13:58 says, and he did not do many miracles there because of their lack of faith. They didn't see that he could do what he said he could do. They didn't believe it. They didn't want to believe it. Whatever the reason, they didn't have faith in who he was and what he could do. See, guys, your faith moves the heart of God. I want to say that again because maybe we didn't hear that. Your faith moves the heart of God. Faith the size of a mustard seed will move the heart of God to perform a miracle. But Jesus wouldn't do miracles when there was no faith. When there was nobody that were impressed with Jesus. When nobody cared that he was Jesus and that he said he was Jesus. Knowing nobody believed that he could do what he said he could do in his hometown. Isn't that just Joseph, the carpenter's son? They had no faith. Guys, I'm going to say it again. Our faith moves the heart of God. We need to have faith. And I'm not talking about the George Michael type faith, if you've ever listened to the song in the 80s. We need to have real faith. Faith that our God can do anything. Your faith moves the heart of God. There's a woman in Scripture, Mark 5:34. Didn't stop bleeding for 12 years. She was ceremonially unclean. Mark 5:34, what does Jesus say to her? Daughter, your what? Your faith has healed you. Luke 17:19. There's a leper fella. Not a leprechaun, a leper fella, leper guy, a guy with leprosy. And he fell at the feet of Jesus and worshiped him. And what did Jesus say to him? Rise and go. For your faith has made you well. Mark 10:52. We got a guy that's blind here. Can't see. And he screams out, Lord, have mercy on me. And what did Jesus say? Go. Your faith has healed you. When Jesus saw faith and who he was and what he could do, he always responded. And I believe when he saw true, no strings attached faith in what he could do, and just pure faith in him, I'm sure that amazed God. I'm sure it amazed him that we would just give him everything, that we would put our full trust in him. Our faith matters to God. And when you pray in faith, it touches his heart. Our faith in him moves the heart of God. Now, I'm going to say something that's not a popular thing for a pastor to say, other than my jokes, because those were really bad, apparently, because nobody laughed. Sometimes I don't always have big-time faith, guys. Sometimes I'm like, God, like, I need you to do this. Like, God, we're praying for this. And it could be a healing, could be the sale of my house, it could be anything. But sometimes it's just like, you know, there's a series of things that happen, and all of a sudden you're like, please, God, like, I just need you to do this. Please, God. And sometimes I don't have big faith. But you want to know the best part about that whole thing? Is I don't need to. I don't need to have big time faith. Jesus said, as long as I have faith. So what do we do if we find maybe our faith is maybe a little bit on the lower end? Our faith moves the heart of God. Our faith moves God. And as we said earlier, if there's a mountain in your life, if there's something that needs to be moved, and if it's so big that physically it's impossible, if you look at that, whatever that mountain may be, whatever that giant is in your life, and you're like, how is this going to be moved? How can this happen? How can this be moved from here to there? All we need to do is have a small size faith, the size of a mustard seed, the smallest seed there is. And if you have any faith, Jesus says, that will move me, and I will move that mountain out of your life, out of your way. In other words, your faith may be really strong, and there may be times where it's kind of strong, and there may be times in your life where you're just like, you're struggling, and God loves you enough to work with you, even when you just have that little bit of faith. When you put your faith and your trust in him, even if it's just that little mustard seed, guys, that moves God's heart, and he will respond. Mark 9:24, we read about a boy who's sick, and he throws himself in the fire. And we read about this dad that goes to Jesus, and he says to Jesus, immediately the boy's father explained, I do believe. Jesus, I believe. But help me overcome my unbelief. What is that saying? It means he has just a little bit of faith. He doesn't know what to do. But I got the faith the size of a mustard seed. I've got just a little faith. But Jesus, I need you to move. Help me grow that faith. See, his son couldn't speak. His son is in agony. His son would be thrown into fire by demons. He would be thrown into water. And the dad's desperate. And he wants to believe that Jesus can help. But he doesn't want to get his hopes up too high. And he's like, Jesus, if you can do anything, please do it. Please take this from me, Jesus. Jesus, just do something. Help me with my unbelief. And the father said something so honest that some of us, I think, are honest like that with God sometimes. And we're just like, God, I do believe. Jesus, I believe. But just help me overcome my unbelief. Help me grow this faith. I do believe, Jesus, but I'm human. Jesus, I've seen you do it with other people. Jesus, please help me in this situation. And Jesus looks on with a loving understanding of this imperfect faith. I'm doing the best I can, Jesus, but help me. And we keep reading. And Jesus heals the son. I forgot to put the scripture up there. I apologize. And Jesus heals the son. Guys, do we have mustard-sized faith to give it to God and say, Jesus, take the situation. Take this, Jesus. Here's my faith. I trust you, God. Heal me. Make me new. Make me well. Help my mother. Help my brother. Help restore this relationship. Help Jesus. I need you to move. I have faith, Jesus. It may not be big time faith, but I have faith in who you are. I have faith you say you will do what you say you will do, or you will do what you say you will do. Jesus, I have faith. It may not be as much as the next guy, but Jesus, I have faith. See, we don't need a huge faith, guys. We don't need to say, well, I've got all the faith in the world and I can move mountains and I'm going to watch that move. We just need a little faith. All we need is a little faith. We need to have faith in Jesus that he can do what he says he will do. We need to trust him. It may not look exactly how we think it's going to look. It may not be done when we think it needs to be done. But he always shows up right on time the way it needs to happen. Because we need to trust that our Father has a plan and a purpose. Some of you might be easy. And you're like, yeah, I have faith. But some of us, it's not. Some of us, it's like, oh, I feel like I've been getting kicked down every step of the day and all I got is this mustard seed. All I got is this mustard seed, but I'm going to give it to you, God. I got faith in you. See, I think that song that the team sang this morning, that you are the God of miracles. I believe that every one of us can make that our declaration, whether you're over here on this side of the stage with big time faith, and you're casting out demons, taking names, kicking butts. You've got faith and you're seeing stuff in action. But I also believe you can go to the other end of the pendulum and you can be standing here with barely a mustard seed, but you got some faith. And you can trust God with that faith. Either side you're on, if you need to believe that he is the God of miracles, you need to believe in him and what he says and what he will do. We need to trust him. We need to put our faith in him. If we put our faith in our situation, if we put our faith in ourselves, if we put our faith in each other, we're going to get disappointed every single time. But if we put our faith in Jesus, if we believe in him, if we believe he is who he says he is, he's going to move. You may be frustrated. You may be hurt. We need to trust in the goodness of God. See, our faith can't be based on what's happening now. If your faith is based on what's happening today or tomorrow or next week or even 2 years from now or 2 years ago or 2 years from now or whatever, if our faith is based on a situation, our faith is rooted in the wrong thing. Our faith can't be situated, focused on our situation. It can't be focused on here and now. It can't be focused on a moment. Actually, that's not true. It can be focused on one moment. Did you know that? Our faith can be focused on one moment. It can be focused fully on what Jesus did on the cross and when he rose again. That's what our faith can be focused on. That's what our faith can be rooted in. On Jesus dying on that cross and rising again. That's where our faith needs to be. Not in our situation, not on what's going on, not on our friends, not on our family, on what Jesus did on the cross and what happened after when he rose from the dead. See, we serve a God who loves us so much that he sent his son Jesus to what? To die for us, right? He sent his son Jesus to die for us, to forgive us of our sins. See, our faith isn't based on our faith isn't a result of being hinged in a miracle. Our faith isn't based on being involved in a miracle. Our faith isn't involved in us seeing a healing. Our faith isn't involved in us having $1 million in the bank or seeing our bank account go from 50 cents to $50,000. That's not what our faith is based on, is it? It can't be. Our faith isn't based on the results of a miracle. Our faith is based on what? On the character and goodness of Jesus and on the character and goodness of God. On the character and goodness of a God who sacrificed his son for me, for you. That's what our faith is based on. Our faith is not based on the result of a miracle, guys. I'm going to say that again. Our faith is based on the character and goodness of God who sent his son. And that might upset you, that might frustrate you that I'm saying that. You might not agree. It's okay. We're allowed to disagree. You all have the right to be wrong. But we need to understand. Got that, eh, Thelma? Guys, we need to understand that when God sent his son Jesus to earth, what was the highest purpose? Did God send Jesus to earth to heal me? My body. Did God send Jesus to earth to heal you guys, your body, physically? Is that why God sent you? Or God sent Jesus, sorry? Did God send Jesus to the earth to make sure you have $5 million in the bank account? Why did Jesus come? He came to save our souls. He came to heal our souls, to unite them with him. Now, I'm not saying that he doesn't think healing our bodies is important, but I'm going to give you a little bit of a spoiler alert. Okay, don't tell anybody outside of these walls, okay, guys? This is my spoiler alert. We all die at some point, unless Jesus comes back first. But we're all going to still die. So it doesn't matter if he heals our bodies. He came to heal our souls. That's what matters. See, Jesus at times said, your sins are forgiven. Now rise up and walk. He came for our soul. He came to heal our spirit, our soul, to unite him with his dad, to unite him with God. Our faith isn't based on what God does. Our faith needs to be based on who God is. Our faith cannot rest on what God does or doesn't do. You know, my mom had cancer. Oh God, why would she have cancer? You didn't take away the cancer, God, like that. Why? Like, why, God? Doesn't matter. My faith isn't based on the fact that he didn't heal my mom or didn't heal me of this or didn't heal you of that. Our faith is based on who God is. Guys, this is important. We can't put our faith in what happens to us. We can't put our faith in our situation, our circumstance at the moment. Have you ever had a circumstance that sucks, that stinks, So if your faith is based on your situation, that faith could get rocked a little bit. But our faith is based on the goodness of God. It's based on God's character. Guys, God proved his goodness when he sent his son Jesus to die on that cross, to rise again. That's where it was proved. I don't know if you know this. In the Bible, everybody that Jesus healed as well. Not just we're going to die, but all those people died too. See, it's a temporary healing. But Jesus offered us an opportunity for an eternal healing. He wants us to be eternally healed in our spirit. We can't let situations, what's going on, rock our focus of him and his goodness. We need to have faith in the all things. We need to base our faith on who God is. We need to base our faith on the fact that he is the God of miracles. Mary, I'm going to ask you guys to come up and sing that song one more time. Because we need to believe and we need to sing that and know that he is the God of miracles. We may not always understand what those miracles are, but you know what? Doesn't matter. Because there's one miracle that was performed that matters above all else. He sent his son, Jesus, to earth, did he not? His son Jesus died on the cross, was raised again, did he not? For what? For our spirits, to heal us eternally. That's a pretty big miracle. We need to stop being so focused and closed-minded, focusing on the here and now, and let's start focusing on eternity, guys. It's all about eternity. It doesn't matter the here and now. It's about eternity. It's an eternal question. What are we willing to put our faith in? The here and now or the eternity? I hope it's the eternity, because when it becomes the eternity, guys, we focus on him and his goodness and who God is. On who God is. He's a good God who loves us. He's a God that heals. He's a God who restores. And we may not understand or see it each and every step. And we may not be like, well, God, why did you do this and not this? That's an eternal question that we can ask him at some point. Right now, it doesn't matter. All that matters is that he died for our sins so we can be healed inside. There are things that we cannot always understand. I wish we did. I wish we had all those answers. And someday we will. But it really doesn't matter, because the fact is that our God loves us. He died for us. He wants to know us. He wants to know our neighbors. We have an opportunity each and every day to connect with the God of the universe. He sent his son Jesus for us. And I'm really just rambling right now, because this is important stuff. He loves us. And it doesn't matter if I still have a limp. Doesn't matter if I got a thorn. Take your thorn and worship your God. Allow him to work how he needs to work in your life. I don't know what that looks like. I don't know what that thorn is. We all have something, I'm sure. Who's perfect? I better put my hand down. None of us. We need to trust God that he's got an ultimate plan. We know he's a good God. He doesn't want us to be in harm. But we know that we live in a sinful world. We need to walk and trust him. We need to walk and know that he is the God of miracles. We don't always understand everything. We don't have all the answers. But we know he already did the most miraculous healing he can do, and he's healed our hearts when we asked him into our heart. That's all that really matters. That's the biggest miracle we needed. The rest are just a cool thing. It's just a cool byproduct. But he doesn't need to prove himself to us. He might have an ultimate plan that we don't understand. That's fine. I'm willing to serve my God because he healed my heart. Right? Now, I'm not discrediting all that other stuff. The healing, the physical healing, the financial burden. We're talking about the miracle of demonic. We're talking about the miracle of provision. We're going to be talking about the miracle of safety. And how he keeps us safe. about how he keeps our finances going. We're going to be talking all about those are all important things. But we need to understand something. God will not always physically heal our bodies. I don't know why. I wish I did. I wish I knew why my mom was in the hospital for the past 6 months. But it doesn't matter because God healed her spirit. That's what matters. That's what matters to God. Our hearts matter to God. He doesn't want us to be feeling like we're on death's door every day. That's not his heart either. But we need to trust his process. And we need to just continually give everything we have to him and put all faith in him because he's the God of miracles, right? Would you guys stand if you can stand and let's just praise him. We're going to trust him. If you have a miracle you need, give it to God while we're praying here. It's not up to us to judge his timing. It's not up to us to do any of that. Allow him to be God of our life. Allow him to be Lord of our life and to lead us and guide us and direct us. After we sing this song and after, I'm going to allow ask Mary to close in prayer. But I'm going to pray right now for you guys and then I'm going to meet you at the door to say goodbye. Father God, we believe that you are the God of miracles. We trust you. We honor you. We lift your name. We sing praises to you, Father. You are a good God. And God, you have good plans for us. And God, even though we don't always understand that, Father, we give our life to you. We give direction to you, or we take direction from you, God, and we give everything that we have to you, Father. And God, we thank you for healing our spirit. Thank you for healing our hearts, God. Thank you for allowing us to be whole on the inside. And Father, as we walk through life, God, we pray, God, for those that need a miracle in their body, God, we pray right now, Father, that it be according to your will that they would be healed. Father, we know that you don't want us to walk in suffering and pain. So, Jesus, we come right now and we ask, Father, and we with prayer and petition, God, that you would heal each and every person here who has a sickness or a disease, Father. We pray that you would reach out and supernaturally heal them, God, with only power that you have. Father, we trust you. We honor you. We give you praise, God, because you alone are worthy of that praise. And Father, right now we ask, I'm going to ask if you do not know who Jesus is and you want to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I'm going to give you an opportunity to. I'm going to ask that you throw up your hand right now and just give it to God and say, God, I need you. God, I need you. Father, I need you. Guys, let's pray. Right now. Father, would you guys repeat after me? Father, I need you. God, come into my heart. Father, heal the most important thing about me, and that's my spirit. Wash me and make me new. God, I thank you that I am your child. And that I can move forward in victory. That I don't have to live a life of pain. But my victory comes from you alone. In Jesus' name, amen. Guys, let's sing. And Mary, I'm going to ask you to close after this song.